This is Tech Guide with Stephen Fenech, the podcast that keeps you updated and educated.
Hello and welcome to Tech Guide episode 597. We're closing in on 600, not too far away. Great to have you join us once again. Thank you for listening. My name is Stephen Fenech. I'm the editor of techguide.com.au. On this week's show, we are talking to Hisense Australia's Chris Mayer, who explains the new features of the 2024 range of Hisense TVs. And Sony has united its new TVs and soundbars under the Bravia banner. In the Tech Guide reviews, we take a look at the new Kobo Color e-readers. Rode has launched some new microphones and mounts, and we check out the lunchbox that can heat itself up so you can enjoy a hot meal anywhere. And we'll answer all of your questions in the Tech Guide help desk. And it's all brought to you by Netgear, the company that keeps you connected, and Norton, the company that keeps you protected. It's that time of year when all the companies are preparing to launch their TVs. On the podcast, we've already spoken to Samsung. We've had spoken about LG as well. Today, we're going to be talking about Hisense. Hisense is, I'd say, part of those, the big four, I say now. Well, Panasonic has fallen out of the race now. They don't sell TVs in Australia anymore. The big four used to be Samsung, LG, Sony, and Panasonic. Panasonic's gone. Now it is Hisense in that top four as well. They're doing making some great inroads in the market. They represent value. That's one thing. They're a Chinese brand, of course, and they have really built up a reputation in the last few years as producing great quality, but also great value. They seem to, if you compare sizes with other TV brands, you'll find that you get a lot more bang for your buck with a Hisense TV. And of course, their quality of their TVs, especially in their ULED range, has really improved over the years. Most recently, the biggest improvement is the fact that they now have mini LED backlighting across the entire range of TVs. A few years ago, it was just the flagships that had the mini LED backlight, but now it's across the board. And that's one thing I like about the Hisense brand, is that they're offering quality and attainable quality, is what I like to call it. I did see a lot of their products, their TVs, at the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas back in January. And they seem to be pretty aggressively priced. And even if people are looking for bigger screen sizes, there are also options to suit those budgets, even if they still want a big TV. Speaking of size, we are going to get into this chat with Chris in a moment, with Chris Mayer. But size is a very important factor in TVs nowadays. Its customers are attracted to those larger TV sizes, and Hisense goes all the way up to 110 inches, as well as them having TVs, 100-inch TVs as well. So if you like big tellies, then Hisense can deliver. And we also talk about that with Chris. But this battle is really for customers who want to buy a TV nowadays. They're not someone, they're usually, it's been a few years since they've been in the market. Their TV might have broken down, or they just want another telly, and it's usually something that takes customers by surprise with the amount of changes that there are, all these new features, this new resolutions, all this stuff. What I love about our chat with Chris is the fact that he actually breaks down what they all mean and how we can make informed decisions as customers, because it's one thing for companies to dazzle us with all these terms, but if you don't know what they do, then it's hard to understand. But my best advice is for people to stand in front of a TV, because what I think is a good telly, you might think is rubbish, and vice versa. So it's a very subjective thing. But I think one thing we can all agree on is that the technology required to provide that quality is there. The companies do their best to enhance it with their different processes and different technologies. But again, it's up to the customer to decide which one is better. And of course, that comes down to price as well. It's price and size. Size, again, is something, is a huge factor. But anyway, all of that we discuss when we had, we got Chris Mayer on the line. Hi, Chris. Thanks for joining us on the Tech Guide podcast. Is this the first time you've been on my show?
I think it is the first time. Thank you so much for having me.
No worries. I think I've spoken to you on video a few times from the Consumer Electronics Show, but great to have you on the podcast finally. Mate, I'd love to talk to you about Hisense's brand new 2024 range of TVs, and I did get a glimpse of them at CES, so I'm excited. They're pretty amazing. Take us through, like, what's the key feature, that the killer feature that the customers are going to notice this year?
Yeah, it's a good question, and I think, you know, what we've really wanted to do is kind of bring that key feature to more of the range. So, you know, going into 2024, you know, we're really trying to cater to Australian households, and I think, you know, the biggest challenge when you're buying a TV for an Aussie household is we've got a lot of windows in our houses, we've got a lot of open spaces. We want to bring that light into the house. And so we've been working really hard on our mini LED technology, which I'll explain in a sec. And basically, we've actually brought that all the way down to the U6 range, which is really our entry, just below one model below that. Basically, we have a whole bunch of bright TVs that are going to combat that sun that's coming into the house. And mini LED is one of those key factors that help us make that technology work.
So talk to us about that. So mini LED, we know other brands have mini LED, but you all do it in your own certain way, I guess. But you're saying that that now is not just for the flagship models. That technology is going to start at the more accessible levels, and then of course go all the way to the flagship with varying levels of quality. Is that right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So, you know, if we look at the U6, for example, which is our real entry into the mini LED space. You know, already that TV is controlled with 10,000 individual little mini LED lights. And, you know, I guess for your listeners, a mini LED light is only about a millimeter, being about the size of a grain of rice. Wow. So we have 10,000 of those set in an array over the TV. And then with the U6 TV, the way that one works is we then slice those lights up into 100 zones. And that's how we control the lights in the TV. Wow. That's kind of our basic approach. We're powerful. You know, if you're comparing against the sort of models that our TVs tend to price against, we're still looking at full array technology, which is the technology before mini LED. And those TVs only have about 100 lights. So, you know, we've got 10,000 lights at pretty much the same price point as what our competitors are doing with 10,000 lights.
Yeah.
So we do pick up the good technology. And, you know, getting rid of all the numbers and talking about what it actually means for a customer, it basically just means the TV is going to have better black performance. It's going to be able to get to those dark areas really well. And it's also going to have brightness, which is going to combat, you know, the light that's coming into the room. And again, that's the lowest model in the U6.
Yeah.
So as we go up the range, we add more zones, we add more lights, we add more brightness. And by the time we get to the top, I mean, I know, Steve, you saw the 110-inch wheel showing off at CES. By the time we get to that top range, we're talking about, you know, 40,000 lights and 40,000 zones all the way on that top model that we showed off in America, which is just absolutely bonkers.
you touched on one thing. I think Hisense is pretty well known as being sort of a value proposition. You mentioned that what you're offering in one model compared to similar specs of another, you tend to offer the value. Is that's still obviously the case this year?
Oh, absolutely. You know, one of our core pillars is attainability. And, you know, I think that speaks pretty obviously when customers actually walk into the store and see our products and how they stack up against our competitors. So, yeah, it's very much about making sure that these types of technologies can actually be accessible to customers. You know, we can have all the zones, all the brightness, all the features, but if no one can actually afford the products, then, you know, what are we actually doing here? So I think that's a really important one. And that's actually why we introduced the U6 in the first place. It was a new model for us last year, you know, and it came in a time where, you know, the financial situation in the world was a bit tenuous.
Yeah.
And so we decided to bring in a model to really help customers get not only mini LED, but also Quantum Dot, which is, you know, as you would know, one of the best color engines you can get on a TV as well.
Yeah.
So that U6 is really well featured in terms of color and brightness performance.
So the
just one of our entries.
You mentioned the Quantum Dot. That's at the heart of your ULED range, hasn't it? Has been for a while. I know, again, other brands have this type of technology, but it's what you do with it that counts, isn't it? So how you treat your Quantum Dot is a little bit different to what Samsung and other brands do, isn't it?
A little bit different. I mean, as you would know, with Quantum Dot, it's all about color accuracy, and it's also about color volume. And I think that second part is really important. So the way it works is, you know, we can have all the colors across the red, green, blue spectrum, and they can look really, really good. But as we increase the TV's brightness, this is where Quantum Dot plays a much more important role. As we increase the TV's brightness, the thing that I think is so amazing about Quantum Dot is that it actually retains color accuracy as brightness goes up, where different color technologies do not. So as we start producing TVs, and you know, with 110-inch, for example, we're going to be producing 10,000 nits of brightness. And if we produce that level of brightness using a different color technology, everything's going to be washed out. So Quantum Dot allows us to actually keep the colors looking real as we push brightness to levels that we haven't actually seen in the industry before.
Right.
And I think that's why it's so important in our range.
I know that we see there's a lot of terms when people are looking at specs of a TV. I've got a great opportunity here with you and for my listeners for you to maybe just basically explain some of them, like the Dynamic X display, and also what is it, the Dynamic X, the HiView engine as well. Can you explain what those things actually do?
Yeah, for sure. So I know these days buying a TV, you kind of need a thesaurus and a dictionary and a university degree.
Yeah.
So those two terms that you described, both of them relate to our ULED TVs. So just to quickly, I guess, blanket what we're talking about, and I'll describe those terms. So ULED, so we mentioned it a few times in the interview already, that is a Hisense-only branding term, yep. And we use that to create a benchmark. And every year we reassess whether the benchmark is good enough for our customers, and then we bring a new benchmark. And so HiView Engine, which you asked me about, is one of those benchmarks for ULED. Basically what that is actually the brains of the TV. So, you know, when you're shopping around for TVs, and obviously, you know, we hope you choose Hisense, but when you're shopping around, each TV is going to have their own CPU, their own brain that's running everything. Yep. So ours is HiView Engine. We're really proud of it because it actually uses AI technology. What we do is we feed it in with, you know, millions of videos, pictures, things like that, of just stuff happening in the normal world. And we can actually then upscale those things. So if I'm watching a video and there's, you know, like a signpost in the background, there's a dog on the screen, there's a person over here, there's a car coming across, they can actually identify each of those objects separately, and then it'll give them a different type of upscaling as to what they're meant to look like in the real world. So really, really smart stuff. And I know you like your sports as well. So yep. The other thing that the HiView Engine does is, if you're watching sports on live TV, and you and I know that on sports on live TV, it's not 4K, it's not Ultra HD, you know, it's a lower quality. But what we can actually do is we actually scan the scoreboard on the screen, and we actually upscale that separately to the picture. So the scoreboard on the screen is mainly going to be text, glyphs, icons, and we actually can see that, and we can upscale it separately so that it comes through clearly as well. There's about 16 different engines in the system that make it look good. I'm not going to go through all of them, but it's a really, really powerful system. And it basically means, you know, whether you're watching cartoons, sports, games, whatever, the system actually identifies what you're watching, and it does the upscaling there. Oh, and the other thing I do want to mention is it actually does all of this without using your internet. There's no sending of data anywhere. It's actually all built into the chip. It's all completely offline. It's just happening as you watch. So if you don't want to even connect to the internet, you actually still get all those features.
Brilliant. Now, I think we should talk about you know, how you mentioned that the TV's got a brain, the TV's got a processor, but it also has an operating system. And I did have a glimpse of the VIDAR U7 OS in Vegas, and I was really surprised at how fast it is. Is that a result of the software being better and the chip on board?
It's a bit of both. You know, the big advantage that we have with VIDAR is it's actually made by us.
Yep.
So we make the chipset, the brain of the unit, and we actually also make the operating system. So VIDAR, and you're right, it's in our seventh version now, coming into 2024, and every single model. So even if you go and pick up our 32-inch TV, it is also going to feature VDU70. All of our TVs this year have the same operating system, and it's so quick because we made the entire chain. Everything's really fast because it was designed just for our TV. You know, there's other brands out there that are using, you know, off-the-shelf operating systems, and that's completely fine, but it does mean that it is difficult to optimize for them. You know, to give your listeners an example, if my TV is turned off and I press the Netflix button on my remote control, I'll be within Netflix, fully logged in, ready to go in 1.7 seconds.
Whoa.
So it is quick.
That's
great.
Really
fast. Yeah.
Speaking of the remote, you mentioned the remote. The remote's even had an upgrade too, so it's also now solar powered.
Yes, that's right. So we now have a brand new remote for all the ULED TVs. So that's the U7, U8, and the UX, which is the flagship. And that is the solar remote. And it's great. I mean, how many times do you have to go to the shops and buy batteries these days? We don't really think about it much, right? We don't really want to have batteries in the house anymore.
Yeah.
So this is a lithium ion battery built in. You don't have to change it. It has a solar panel on the top where the buttons are. And basically, you just leave it when you're finished with it, and it's going to charge using the light from the windows. I actually checked with HQ, and it actually will also charge just with the lights in the room.
Wow.
So even if you are living in a dungeon and you don't have any windows, it actually is still going to charge nicely.
Okay, mate, I've saved my favorite question to last, and that is, how big are these TVs getting? We're up to our appetite for big screen TVs is getting even bigger, and you guys have gone 110 inches. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so, well, across the whole range. So we have more 85s this year than we've ever had. We have more 100 inches this year than we've ever had. And we have got 110-inch coming in later this year as well. So we're actually going to have three TVs that are at or over 100 inches in our range, which is crazy. I mean, customers really are engaging and getting these larger TVs in their houses, and the 110-inch is by far the best TV we've ever made. And, you know, we were even so bold at CES to make the claim that I do stand behind, which is this probably will be the best mini-LED TV in the entire market in the world.
Wow.
At this 110-inch. You know, 10,000 nits of brightness is not a small feat. And for your listeners, just to quickly quantify what nits are, just in case they don't know, you know, if you're driving home and you've got your headlights on, that's about 600 nits of brightness.
Uh-huh.
If you've got your high beams out, that's about 1,300 nits. If you've been to the cinema recently, the brightness there is actually probably only about 200 to 300 nits.
Wow.
So a TV that can do 10,000 nits is actually getting really close to what you would experience on an overcast day, like we have here in Melbourne almost every day. And so for me, I look out the window, I'm looking at about 11,000 nits of brightness. So I'm getting a TV that is so close to reality.
Wow.
That I can see pretty much the exact colors that I would see when I look outside.
So
it's no small feat.
When you say I rock up, and when is it? It's out middle of the year. Is it June, July? It's in market, the 110 inch?
Probably going to be coming. It'll be probably coming to market closer to September.
Okay. So say I rock up and say, right, I'll take that TV, 110-inch TV. I think you'd need – I don't own a semi-trailer to take it home. How's it going to work, mate? How is the – as you're obviously doing deals with the retailers to make sure this is delivered safely and installed, are you going to those lengths?
Yeah, so all the retailers that we work with that will be carrying and it's not just 110-inch, any of 100-inch TVs. And they all have deliver and install partnerships. So, you know, they'll be able to make sure that, you know, this is definitely not one of those TVs you're just going to throw on the back of a sedan and try and take home. Now, this is one of those TVs you're going to want to, you know, pay a bit of special care to. So, yeah, I would recommend that our customers engage with the delivery and install terms on there. And, you know, and sometimes we will engage with them as well to try and offer those as an over above value add as well. But I can't speak to that until we get closer to release.
Is it wall mountable? You need a strong wall, but is it able to be mounted on the wall if I wanted to?
Yeah. All of our TVs comply with, you know, your standard VESA protocol, and there are mounts out there. And you're right, you do need good mounts, but there are mounts out there that can do 100 and even 110 inch. Absolutely.
Wow.
I wouldn't be buying the $30 ones. I'd be getting the proper ones. But yes, it can absolutely be wall mounted, and it looks really nice on the wall, actually.
Yeah. What about the audio, the sound on TVs? I remember reviewing the UX, your last year's UX TV, the flagship mini LED X TV, And I've got to say, the sound quality out of the box, you've got speakers on the sides and it sounded amazing. Like how important is that for customers?
Yeah, I think it's a big thing. If you'll allow me, I'll quickly run through the sound from the U7 through just so that customers know the difference. So, you know, on our U7, which is our entry into the ULED range, that has what we call 2.1 sound. So you've got a left speaker, a right speaker, and you've got the subwoofer. It actually has a subwoofer built in, so you get a bit of low-end sound. All of our TVs do Dolby Atmos and DTS:X, so, you know, cinema-grade coding, which is really important. You know, when you move into the U8, which is the model just below the UX, that is going to give you 2.1.2 sounds. Now, that last 0.2 that we've added is actually spatial speakers. So, you know, those speakers are actually at the top of the TV, and they actually project onto your ceiling and they bounce down just above you. And the idea is that if there's a helicopter scene or if there's an explosion or if there's something that happens above the viewer, you can actually hear that sound coming from above you, which I think is really, really cool.
Yeah.
And then the last one is that UX. So, you know, all sizes, not just 110-inch, you know, even the 65-inch that we're also introducing this year, all of those sizes are going to have 4.1.2. And as you rightly pointed out, there is actually speakers now on the left and right of the TV that are angled slightly. And what they do is they actually shoot the sound past you to your left, past you to your right. And the idea there is characters walking in from off screen, you'll actually hear their footsteps coming to the left of you, walking into the middle of the screen. And then, you know, let's say they're wearing a jackpack and they blast off into the air above you, you'll then hear that sound go above you as well. So it's kind of a, think of it as like a semi-sphere of sound coming towards you.
Yeah,
it's probably the best sound we've put in our TVs. And you can always take it further with a soundbar as well to get even deeper bass and even more response.
That's fantastic because it's not just about the picture. Also, sound plays a major part. It sounds like you've got plenty of things already built into your TVs this year.
Yeah, you know, it's a big one, right? You know, we're getting a lot of customers that want to watch movies, want to watch sports. And I have to say, like, when you jump into sports mode, and you know, Stephen, I'm not a big sports person. My girlfriend's been getting me into it a lot more. So, you know, now I'm a Melbourne supporter. Now I'm watching the AFL. And when the TV kicks into sports mode, I'm currently, quote-unquote, testing a UX at home at the moment.
Okay.
spatial audio is amazing. Like, I can actually hear the crowd cheering separately from the announcers,
wow.
And it actually comes out to the side around me, and it really does kind of feel like you're in the space watching that game, which I think is quite powerful. Something I never thought I would say as a non-sports viewer, but, it really does kind of bring you into the game. When you're hearing that sound sort of come out around you, which is pretty cool.
That's the idea, isn't it? The idea is to be immersed in the action, whether it's a movie, a game, sport. Hisense, it looks like your next, the 2024 range of TVs is really going to give everyone a great experience. Chris, really appreciate your time on the podcast, mate, and I'll talk to you soon.
Awesome. Thank you so much, mate. I appreciate it.
While we're still on the subject of TVs, I thought we'd mention Sony has just released their new line of Bravia TVs, as well as their soundbars as well. And the thing with Sony this year, they've expanded the Bravia brand to now incorporate both its TVs and soundbars. So it's a Bravia, the name Bravia is now synonymous with home theater, home cinema technology, home audio technologies, to provide that amazing experience. The new lineup, there are four series in their new TVs, also some new soundbars in their Bravia Theatre home audio product range as well. And where Sony's coming from is that already they provide a lot of the professional film production equipment. So the movies that we see, a lot of them was filmed and captured with Sony equipment. So Sony, they say they're in a position to understand that part of the industry to deliver the quality and to realize a filmmaker's vision. So they want to show you a film exactly as the filmmaker intended. So they're sort of got an inside run there from within the industry. And their new TVs have some remarkable new technology. So the idea is to improve color, improve contrast, and improve brightness, and they've got several things that can do that. The new Bravia 9 mini LED model, that's their flagship, has a precise backlight control. It is powered by the Sony XR processor. Now, this processor includes a scene recognition system, which means it can detect and analyze what's on the screen and optimize the picture for even higher realism. And this is all happening on the fly. Some amazing processing power right there. It also has the XR backlight master drive. So this is kind of the traffic cop of the TV, which is in charge. It uses a local dimming algorithm, and this is what controls the mini LEDs to create that contrast. And in some scenes, the contrast has to be of a level where you're still preserving a lot of the shadow detail. So even in these demanding scenes, you're still seeing the best it can be. This year's Bravia lineup too is up to 50% brighter. So the Bravia 9, which is the flagship, is up to 50% brighter than last year's X95L model. So that suits Australians because we tend to live in open plan, bright viewing areas. Our TVs are usually in big open plan living areas with lots of windows. So having that brightness is a huge factor as well. It also has anti-reflection, so that you're not getting the glare caused by either outside light or your own lamps and lights inside. So that way it preserves the pure blacks that it's trying to generate. It also has the X wide angle. So if you haven't scored the plum spot in the middle of the lounge, the picture's still going to look just as good if you're out on the wing, if you're sitting side on almost to the television. Here's another feature of the TV. The new Bravia TVs feature Acoustic Multi Audio Plus to deliver precise cinematic surround sound. They also have a new feature called Voice Zoom 3, which can actually distinguish voices using an AI algorithm and amplify it or reduce its volume so it sounds clear. So it can tell, because I hear so many people saying, oh, I can't hear the voices very clearly. And this is something that these companies have taken on board. Samsung has a similar feature with their TVs as well. Now, the audio side of things as well, you've got to remember, you've got a good picture, but you also have to have good audio as well. And that's where the Bravia Theatre comes in. These are home audio products. They're basically soundbars. And this is designed to bring you – so it brings the – it's got a feature called Acoustic Center Sync. So this integrates the soundbar with the TV, so the sound matches precisely to what you're watching. It's frustrating when the lips don't match what you're hearing, and you'll be surprised how easy that is to notice as well. So that's something that this new feature, Acoustic Center Sync, does between the TV and the soundbars. But they're taking a leaf out of the Samsung book here too with the feature that allows the sound TV speakers and the soundbar to combine. That's called Q Symphony on the Samsung TVs. But what Sony's achieved here is the Acoustic Center Sync function uses the TV speakers and the soundbar to create the impression that sound is coming directly from the TV screen. Now, that effect is achieved in a cinema because if you go up close to a public cinema, big screen, the screen is perforated and there are massive speakers behind the screen. So all the sound, the voices, is coming from the screen. And that's what Sony's created with this feature as well. But their soundbars also have some pretty impressive features, including 360 spatial sound mapping. Now, here's what this does. This generates phantom speakers in multiple locations in your room, all right? So you'll swear that there's a speaker to your right, but there's nothing there, or a speaker above you or behind you, but there's nothing doing. These are phantom speakers that creates with that technology. So it surrounds you with audio. So really they've bottled this whole the cinematic acoustic behavior and bottled it into a single soundbar, if you can believe that. So, yeah, they also have the Bravia Theatre Quad, which offers a wider surround sound, so you can add four slim speakers to really then get even more detail out of your surround sound as well. So I love the fact that it's all in one big happy Bravia family. So if you're looking for a home cinema experience, all you have to look in one place, and that's under the Bravia banner. We've got some pricing, TV range and sizing. You can check all of that out at techguide.com.au.
Keeping you updated and educated. Tech Guide with Stephen Fenech.
The Tech Guide podcast is proudly supported by Netgear. They're Australia's number one Wi-Fi brand. If your home demands superior Wi-Fi, treat it with a masterpiece in connectivity. Bring your Wi-Fi up to speed with Orbi Wi-Fi 6E from Netgear. Orbi Wi-Fi 6E is the first and only Wi-Fi 6 quad-band whole home mesh system, opening an exclusive all-new 6 gigahertz superhighway that's fine-tuned to deliver unprecedented Wi-Fi speeds and smoother streaming simultaneously across the smart homes of today and tomorrow. It's Wi-Fi perfectly engineered. Find out more at netgear.com.au/best Wi-Fi.
And now, a Tech Guide review with Stephen Fenech.
Kicking off the reviews this week are the Kobo Color e-readers. Now, these don't go on sale till the end of April, which is just, you know, in a week. But I've had them in my hot little hands for a little while now. I've got to say, I'm a big reader. I love reading. And I thought, why would you need a color e-reader? But you know what? Now that I've used these Kobo, the Libra color and the Clara color, then I'm thinking, how can you not have color now when you're reading? And in the case of the Libra, that also has a stylus, so you're able to write on the screen, annotate on in e-books, highlight passages. It's just like a real book with a real pen or a pencil. Now, the whole e-reading experience is massive, and now you can add color to that experience. So that's for your reading, your markup, note-taking, the Kobo Libra color, the Kobo Clara color is what you need. It brings all the features you'd expect, of course, from the mono, the black and white versions, including the screen sizes, waterproof designs. But what it does, it brings the new color screen is the e-ink Kaleido touchscreen. And the great thing about it is you can see your library in full color now. So you can see it still has that glare-free paper-like look, but with the punch of colour. And it's great looking at your library. There's all those covers there, and the idea of a cover is meant to entice you or remind you and for you to see what's on your bookshelf in colour. That really helps you along. Now, I did ask the question, why would you need a colour e-ink reader, an e-book reader? Well, it's not, you think about the possibilities now. So when you're reading, of course, text is black and white. But you think about the possibilities now with color on an e-reader, especially the larger screen e-readers. It brings into play other things, like you can now view, some books have sketches and diagrams in them, and they're often in color. Children's books. Imagine your child being able to read a book in full color on an e-reader as well. And then there's also the possibility, I think these already, you can already get these on e-readers as well, comic books and graphic novels. And you can just imagine the publishers thinking, well, what about this beautiful color coffee table book we've got? Why don't we offer that for the color e-readers as well? So I think it's going to open up the choices for the sort of books you can read and consume on the e-reader. So let's just have a closer look at each model, shall we? The Libra color it's available in the case that you mean the outside of it is in black or white. The screen is color, but you can get the white model or the black model. Has a 7-inch e-ink Kaleido touchscreen display, and there's an area on the right so that it's a great little grip on the screen, and there are two buttons. It's a page up, page down, so they're right there literally at your fingertips when you're reading. You can also turn the pages on by swiping left or right on the screen, of course. You can do that too, but there are dedicated buttons if you don't want to touch the screen. It has that slightly curved form factor as well, like on the end where the handle is, so that it fits nicely in your hand, and those page turn buttons are right there as well. So, yeah, this is the larger of the two. And this is the only one of the two that is compatible with a stylus. So it's stylus compatibility. They have the Kobo Stylus 2, which is available. It doesn't come with it. You've got to buy that separately. I'll tell you the pricing at the end. But it does open up the ability for you to make notes, write in the margins, highlight passages, and do that. Now, I hear you saying there are other, like the Kindle Scribe can do that already, but it can do that to a degree. Now, if you read my Kindle Scribe review, I've linked it in my Kobo Color review. The Kindle Scribe lets you leave little post-it notes, basically, on the text. So if there's a little square, you click on that, it opens up a little note about what you wrote about that particular passage. It doesn't actually let you write in the book. You're putting little post-it notes on there. Kobo, on the other hand, they own a patent that allows readers to write right inside that ebook notes, highlight passages like they would on a physical book with a pen or a pencil. So that's a big tick to Kobo right there. And there's a picture of, I've just annotated a page. I just randomly circled things and highlighted paragraphs and passages and wrote there. So you can see exactly what I'm talking about. You can't do that on any other e-reader, color or black and white. So that's another attraction for that, for the Libra, which allows you to do that. And a lot of people love to read with a pen in their hand. They highlight, they circle passages. It helps them understand and remember and digest the book a little better. Me personally, I rather just read. But if there are some books maybe that are nonfiction or I'm trying to learn things, then of course I'll grab a pen and be able to highlight. And the beauty of having the pen is that you can it looks like an eraser on top of it. You can actually rub out, if you make a mistake, you can rub it out quite as easily as if it's a real pencil and paper. So yeah, I think that's a huge attraction for the Libra, which is more expensive, of course, because it's got a bigger screen and that capability. But let's look at the Clara, which has a 6-inch display. Same Kaleido screen, but it's slightly smaller, 6 inches. And it has, the Libra, by the way, has 32 gig of storage. That's enough room for up to 24,000 books. I reckon that'll get you through the summer or through a trip. The Clara Color has 16 gig. That's room for up to 12,000 books. Again, plenty to fit on there if you're going away. Even on a long holiday, a long European vacation, that will easily do you right there. The 6-inch is naturally a little bit more compact and easily fits in one hand, as does the Libra. But also, if you've got a big enough pocket, I was able to put the Clara in my back pocket, my jeans back pocket. I got a decent-sized pair of jeans, a back pocket on my jeans. It also fits in coat pockets and other places where you'd normally think, oh, I need a bag to carry that. But no, it's pretty compact and still has that 6-inch display. And of course, if you're worrying about like I wear reading glasses. If you don't want to wear your reading glasses, you just make the font bigger. You're turning pages a lot more often, but that's another thing that an ebook provides over a physical book. Battery-wise as well, they last 4 weeks. They run on the smell of an oily rag, these things, and if based on, say, 30 minutes of reading a day, you're talking weeks of charge. If you're reading more often, of course, you're going to need to charge more often. But it's not like your phone that you have to charge every day. Once a week, I think, is you could get away with doing it. Even once every 1.5 weeks, 10 days even. Now, these also have Bluetooth because they can also play audiobooks. So you can not only download a book, an ebook, you can also download an audiobook. And like a smartphone, they've got Bluetooth so you can connect your headphones, your earphones, and press play and enjoy. So they're right there beside your reading books. Audiobooks is right there as well. Now, these are waterproof. So if you're by the pool or by the beach, you don't have to worry about any splashes. Even if you're this way inclined, you can even read them in the bath. If you're reading a book that you just can't put down, you can take it in the bath with you and have no risk of, even if you drop it in the water, it is waterproof. And it's not going to get damaged. If you spill a cup of tea or a glass of milk or water on it, no problem there at all either. Now, here's the thing I reckon some Kobo owners might not be aware of. They can use, and this is not just the colour, these are the other devices, earlier devices too. You can use them at your local library to borrow ebooks. So you can borrow an ebook. And the thing with this, right, it's funny because it's borrowing an ebook from a library is like borrowing a physical book. There's only one or two copies of that ebook. Funny how they do that. Because you think about it, if they can just let anyone download any book at all, that's going to impact on that author's revenue, their royalties. So like a physical book, there might be one or two copies in the library. If someone's borrowed it, you can't get it till they've brought it back. So, but yeah, the Kobo allows you to tap into those library systems and borrow an ebook. If you do love reading and you haven't got into the ebook range, the products, then I think you're missing out because it makes reading a lot easier. I think a lot more enjoyable sometimes, well, most of the time, because there are no distractions. I know a lot of people sometimes read on their iPads or their tablets or their phones, but there's notifications and there's things, you get calls and there's all these distractions. I love the fact that this is just designed for you to read or listen to your book. So I think a great choice. Now, how much are they? I hear you ask. The Libra Color is $359.95. The Stylus is $119.95. So not cheap, but a good investment if you're into your reading, and it's color. They also have the Kobo Libra Sleep Cover in yellow, blue, and black. They're $49.95. They also have a clear case for the Libra, $39.95. Now, the Clara is slightly cheaper, $259.95, so $100 cheaper. It's also one-inch smaller screen. The Sleep Cover for the Clara color is available in green, pink, red, and black, $44.95. There's also a clear case for the Clara, which is $34.95. And there's also a basic sleep cover in blue for $34.95. They go on sale April 30, which is about a week away. But I've had, if you want to check them out for yourself, there are pictures. I've been using them for a couple of weeks now. I'm a big fan. The color ebook readers, you know what? I think having a color ebook reader, I don't think I can go back to a black and white. I think these other companies, Kindle, they're going to have to come up with a color version now. It's like missing out. It's like getting a color television and thinking, wow, how good's that? And then having to go back to a black and white TV. I don't want to do that. So I think we're going to probably see all these other brands coming up with a color screen as well, probably this year sometime. So Kobo's get out there first and doing a great job with their Kobo Libra color and the Kobo Clara color. And if you want to have a closer look, check them out, techguide.com.au. Aussie company Rode, they're the company that makes microphones. I'm actually talking into a Rode microphone right now and recording on the Rode Procaster 2, the Rodecaster 2. So, you know, pretty good right there. Rode have got it covered pretty well. They've just released some new products, though, at the NAB show in Las Vegas. These include a handheld microphone for the Rode wireless systems and a phone cage and a magnetic mount. Now, of course, naturally brings in the quality you'd expect to work with the Rode, other Rode products. The audio quality is right there. As I said, I'm recording on the Rodecaster Pro 2 right here. One of their new products is called the Interview Pro. This is a wireless broadcast quality condenser microphone that works with any of the Rode Series 4 wireless systems, including the Wireless Pro, Wireless Me, Wireless Go 2. It also can be paired to the Rodecaster Pro 2. Now, I've connected my Rode microphone with a cable, an XLR cable, to the Procaster 2, but you can now have a wireless microphone for that as well. So imagine you're presenting, you're streaming, you're untethered. You can use this wireless microphone. And it also takes advantage of the 2.4 gigahertz, Series 4 2.4 gigahertz digital transmission with 128-bit encryption so you can have a stable wireless audio connection at a range of up to 200 meters. They, of course, have the professional-grade condenser capsule, so it offers outstanding voice reproduction. It's going to go on sale in early May, so in a week or two. The other product is a phone cage. So this is a magnetic smartphone mounting system. So creators can mount an iPhone or any other MagSafe compatible smartphone to this frame. And so there are parts of this you can hold left and right, or you can turn it on its side so you can film in portrait mode for TikTok and Instagram stories and reels, or you can hold it in landscape mode. And all around the cage are 33 mounting threads, 5 cold shoe slots. So you can build this really cool videography rig. You might want to put a light, a microphone, a shotgun mic. You can build it all up and have it all there. So whether you're creating content for social media or pro landscape aspect ratio content as well, the phone cage can help you do it. And, you know, our phones can capture amazing quality video, which is why having products like these Rode mounts and microphones helps you makes creating that content easier and more enjoyable. The other product is the magnetic mount. So this is basically, it's a MagSafe puck, which has 3 different arms that can attach. So you can attach a light, a microphone, or something else, all there. 3 removable arms, short and long, so you can shoot in landscape or portrait mode again. And just helps you get things done. And easily position, like imagine, how do you use a light with an iPhone? With the magnetic mount from Rode, you can do that now. So the magnetic, it attaches to the back of the phone, and there's a short arm and a long arm, so you can put a light, a microphone, whatever else you need, right there to help you shoot that content. So the magnetic mount, no prices yet. The magnetic mount's going to go on sale in late April. Pricing will be announced closer to the launch day. So you've got the Interview Pro, the phone cage, and the magnetic mount from the Aussie company Rode. They make all their products too in Sydney. They've got a factory here in Sydney. So proudly flying the Aussie flag. Rode, been a big fan of their stuff for quite a while. I'm very happy to use all their gear because it produces amazing quality. You can check all those new products out from Rode. You can see it all at techguide.com.au. Now, here's a cool one. This is a lunchbox. Like, how many times, right? I'll paint a picture. You're a tradie. You might work in an office and you don't have access to a microwave. You've got leftovers from the night before, maybe some takeaway, leftover Chinese or something, and you want to take it to work the next day and eat it. And you don't want to eat it cold, but you don't have access to a microwave or an oven. Well, there's a new product called the HeatsBox Go, and this is this lightweight appliance that can actually heat up your meal anywhere. So it's got a heat, it's got an integrated heating element, up to 100 watts of power, temperature control as well through the companion app. So you can heat your meal in between 15 and 25 minutes. The app even lets you set a schedule. So say you want to eat lunch at 12:30, you just tell the app, I want the meal to be ready by 12:30. It'll turn on 25 minutes early or whatever it needs and start heating it so that by 12:30, your meal's ready to go. It does have that connection as well. Now the dish can be removed. It's all, of course, leak proof, and obviously it's safe to hold because it does. Even though it heats up the dish, it does have this thick plastic coating so that you're not going to burn yourself. It distributes the heat evenly like a microwave, so your food is cooked or heated evenly. So it's as simple as that. It's ideal for tradies on building sites, campers, other people working outside or in remote areas who don't have access to a kitchen or a staff room, can hold up to 925 milliliters of liquid or up to 600 grams of food, and powered by its own internal battery. I mentioned the HeatsBox app allows you to control the temperature and the cooking time and schedule the heating of your meal. And all you need to do is simply, if you want to just manually do it, just simply press the button on the device till it turns red. When the button changes color to green, the meal is ready to eat. Default temperature setting, 80 degrees Celsius, which is ideal if you want to just heat something up, not cook something from raw. This is for heating up stuff. And it can be recharged. The battery can be recharged with a USB-C cable, either from a PowerPoint or same power bank for your phone if you want to charge it up that way as well. It has a lid and a base cover for the dish, and held safely in place, as I said, and you're not going to get burned. So no problem there. It's ideal. It's $199, and you can get it from Harvey Norman and JB Hi-Fi. Now, I think there might be some parents thinking, oh, this is good for my child. And it is one thing. It's a little bit heavy. Remember, there's a battery and a heating element in there. It's not heavy like a brick, but heavier than a normal lunchbox. That's just something to keep in mind. If your child doesn't mind that and they can manage it, then they might be able to have a hot meal for lunch. And if you're a tradie or heading out, knowing that you're not going to have anywhere to heat up a meal, the Heatsbox can help you do it. The Heatsbox Go, it's available from Harvey Norman and JB Hi-Fi and other selected retailers. It's also available from the IQU website. There's a link on Tech Guide. $199 to have a hot meal wherever you want. Check out our story. It's at techguide.com.au.
You're listening to Tech Guide with Stephen Fenech.
The Tech Guide podcast is proudly supported by Norton. They're the company that can keep you and your family safe online. You might not realize it, but you're being tracked, profiled, and targeted online every day from advertisers and other businesses. Do you know how private you are while you're browsing online? Now, just using incognito mode is only one part of how you can disguise your digital footprint. If you're searching something private or sensitive online, might be medical, financial, otherwise, it's important to ensure that you aren't being tracked online. Now, you can now stay more private online with Norton AntiTrack. And you can go beyond just clearing your browser history and stopping targeted ads with Norton's anti-fingerprinting tech. And tracking alerts on a dashboard, you can now browse anonymously and seamlessly to help you stay more private online. Included is Norton private email. So you no longer have to share your real email address with services if you don't want to. It also blocks hidden email trackers. Norton AntiTrack helps you stay more private online and lets you know who is trying to track you. Get Norton AntiTrack today. It's available from Harvey Norman, JB Hi-Fi, Officeworks, or au.norton.com.
All your tech questions answered. This is the Tech Guide Help Desk.
The Tech Guide Help Desk is each and every week proudly supported and sponsored by our good friends at Belkin. Belkin, great people at Belkin. Not only that, great products at Belkin too. We're talking cables, USB hubs, phones, phone screens, you name it, they've got plenty of MagSafe products, charging products, GAN charging products, because you don't get a power brick with a phone anymore. And Belkin has one that can maybe charge three or four devices at the same time. Check them out, belkin.com/AU. Now, I do get this question quite a bit, and I know there's a lot of you who have purchased phones several years ago for under $500. And I did have one email asking, look, they had a sub $500 phone, even a sub $800 phone, I think it was, that they've had for 3 years, but the screen has cracked. And their question was, do I get it repaired or should I just buy a new device? That's a tough question to answer because 3 years, a phone should last 3 years at least. It should last you more than that. Now, the thing with repairs, and depending on the type of phone, the brand of phone, not every device is easy to repair. Yeah, if you've got an iPhone or a Samsung Galaxy phone, those repair kiosks have got them on hand. They've got them in stock. They can do it. They can do it quick and might cost you a couple of $100. But what do you do if your phone is, say you paid $500 for it and 2 years in, you crack the screen? My answer to this is to get a quote. Get a quote on that repair. You might be surprised. It might be $50 to fix the screen. I doubt it. It's going to cost more than that. It might cost you $150, $200. That's a decision you need to make. If you can buy a new phone that's better than the one that's broken for $300, $400, I would consider buying a new phone. because what you're going to have, even when you repair the screen, you can still have a three-year-old phone just with a new screen. The battery is going to be the same. The processor is going to be the same. So, yeah, it might give it a bit more longevity, but it's not going to be better than what you already had. And if it's close to, if it's, say, $300 to repair the screen on a $500 phone, even $600 phone, you'd be thinking, well, do I just spend another $200 and get a phone? Because you got to remember the $800 phone you bought 3 years ago, you can probably buy a $400 phone that's better than that right now. So these are decisions that you need to take. These are things you need to take into consideration before you make that decision. That is the end of the show for this week. Thanks for hanging out with us. If you need to find out about anything we've spoken about on the show, you can find it, of course, at techguide.com.au. And we love hearing from you. You might end up on the Tech Guide help desk. Our email address is info@techguide.com.au, or even easier, click that Ask Stephen icon on the right-hand side of the home pages, and you will be able to get an email through to me that way as well. We also want to give a special shout out to our great friends, Netgear, the brand you can trust for all your Wi-Fi needs, and also Norton, the company that can keep you and your family safe online. They provide tremendous support for the Tech Guide podcast, have been with us for years. I'd love for you to show them the same sort of support. Please support those companies that support your Tech Guide podcast. Thank you once again for listening. We'll be back with another show next week. So until then, stay safe and stay connected.